Welcome to Answering the Call with host Elizabeth Ficicello. In this program, Elizabeth gives us a glimpse into the spiritual journeys of priests, deacons, and religious sisters and brothers from the Columbus Diocese who have heard and answered God's call. And here's your host, Elizabeth Ficicello.
Hi, and thanks for joining us on Answering the Call here on the new home for St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, and streaming live on stgabrielradio.com. I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli, and this program gives us an opportunity to get to know some of our ordained clergy and religious in our diocese and learn about their particular faith journeys as they answered the call to a religious vocation in our church. I'm really delighted to have a special guest in our studio today, Sister Mary Jacinta of the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, based in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And Sister is part of a community that is serving St. Michael's Catholic School in Worthington. So welcome, Sister Mary Jacinta, to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio.
Thank you.
And welcome to Columbus, by the way.
Thank you.
I want to give you a little background on my guest today. Sister Mary Jacinta is a native of Ann Arbor, Michigan, where her religious order is founded. And she's the fifth of 10 children, and three of them are either in a religious vocation or are currently pursuing one. So I'd like to start there, Sister, by telling us what your parents did to encourage religious vocations in your home and in your family.
Well, I don't think I could pick out one specific event or something that they did to specifically encourage vocations, but I remember very clearly when we started going as a family to daily Mass. And I think that exposure to the Eucharist is probably what did it. We would pray the Divine Office as a family when I was younger. And then when I was around 12, we started going to daily Mass and regular Eucharistic adoration and actually even confession. So the Eucharist and the sacraments, that would do it.
And when you were a young girl growing up in this very large family, did you dream of religious life or family life?
I was planning on having a big family of at least 10 kids.
Wow.
And I was going to illustrate children's books because my older sister knew that she was going to be a sister. So that was checked off my list.
You figured, okay, one in there, you don't have to do that. So it wasn't on your radar as a young girl,
no.
At least initially. Okay, so when did it start to get on your radar?
Not until my older sister, Sister Mary Joseph, entered the community, which was 3 years before I did. So there was a 3-year span of coming to visit her and getting to know the sisters. And it was during that time that I fell in love with the sisters and realized how happy they were. And seeing my sister grow in happiness, it just kind of touched my heart in a special way. And I followed soon after her.
Tell us about your calling, because a lot of people ask that question, well, what does a calling feel like, you know? And for you, you were attracted to this life, these sisters, but you must have felt God prompting you, urging you in this direction. What is that call like for someone who's never experienced that?
Well, as a teacher, I love to talk to kids about how God speaks to us in silence, and that applies to a lot of different areas, and especially in receiving our vocation. I never heard any voices or had any really clear signs or things that were tangible. It was all in the silence of my heart and mm-hmm. in the silence of prayer. And I don't know that I could put a feeling on it, but it's definitely real. It's definitely a pull that I was feeling in my heart. And it's something that I couldn't ignore. And it was something that was very attractive. I remember at some points it was hard, and sometimes I would cry because I saw the things I was not going to have, like a family and a husband. And those things were definitely on my mind as well. But the beautifulness of the vocation and the attraction of the life was always bigger.
And I think that's such a beautiful way to say that, because it's very real that you have a desire for both kind of lives, mm-hmm. you know, that's not unusual. And but it's important to see where God is calling us for our ultimate happiness and fulfillment. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the religious formation of the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. You mentioned to me that in Dominican spirituality, you know, all of life is formation. And I think on a certain level, that's true for all of us, or at least I think it should be true.
But there is a very definite formation for becoming a fully professed sister in your order. So give us an overview of that 8-year process.
Okay. It starts when we enter as aspirants, and then after 6 months, we become postulants. So that's the first year. And during that time, you receive the title sister, but you keep your baptismal name, and you are praying about whether or not, in a very serious way, you're praying about whether or not this is your vocation. And the word postulant actually comes from the Latin word to ask. Mm-hmm. So as an individual, I'm asking God and the community if this is my vocation, and then the community is asking us if we have a vocation. And it's a very prayerful time. And we're also praying about what religious name we would like at that time. So after a year, we receive the habit and a religious name and a white veil. And for 2 years, that period is called when you're a novice. And that's a deeper kind of discernment. But again, there's no real commitment as far as vows go until after 3 years, you make your first vows. And that's when you receive a black veil. So when you see a sister wearing white versus a black veil, that's what that means. Vows are novice. And then there are 5 years of temporary vows before we make our final vows. So that's the total of 8 years.
Now, I understand that the formation process is very regulated. And by that, I mean, as you're going through this formation process, the amount of time you can receive visitors or letters even from family and friends, it's a very limited process. From an outsider's viewpoint, that can sound somewhat harsh. So help us to understand the careful thought behind this.
Well, the life that we live is completely dedicated to God, and that begins from day one. And that initial period of formation is more intense because it is a time of discernment to see if this is the life that we are able to live and if we're happy living the life. So although the regulations might, in a sense, loosen up a little bit after formation, you still keep the sense of that. And it's more my responsibility as a professed sister to keep those things rather than someone watching over me and making sure I'm keeping those. But the reason why it's so strict in the beginning is because we really want to live the life as it's supposed to be or as at its ideal. And all the regulations are very purposeful, but they're also hard to see that the living of it, whether or not we're able to do that.
So it really gives you that opportunity to try this out. Can mm-hmm. I make these sacrifices? Because the reality is, even if you had discerned a vocation into the married life with children, say your husband took a job on the other side of the country, you know, you're suddenly not going to be available to your family and your friends maybe as you would. I think all of our vocations, you know, in some way or another put a limit on us. But I think that helps us to understand that process better. So you're not coming out and being surprised by anything. You're mm-hmm. you're coming out completely testing this call and realizing this is the life I want and I can make these sacrifices. And so it works for you and it works for the people that you're going to be serving.
Yes. And you made a good point in that some of these sacrifices apply to married life and other vocations as well. Sometimes it's harder to see how they apply because it's harder to understand in religious life because it's not as familiar to us. But some of those things are exactly the same, like the lack of freedom to just get up and go visit my family. If I had kids, I wouldn't have that freedom either. So some of those things carry over.
Sure, sure. There's a rhythm, it sounds like, to daily life in the Dominican order, as I'm sure there is with every religious order. And this rhythm is found both in the Mother House in Ann Arbor, as well as in these missions, these little communities that are being set up, like the one here in Worthington. But let's go to the Mother House for a minute and take us through a typical day at the Mother House from the time the sisters rise until they retire for the evening.
Okay. Our day starts at 5:00. We rise all at the same time and get ready for our Eucharistic Holy Hour at 5:30. And our day starts with that. We're the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. So two things that are a huge part of our charism in our life is Eucharistic adoration and devotion to Our Lady. So our day starts with adoration. And during that time, we have the divine office. So we have a period of meditation. And we all know that we need to go out and teach during the day. And we can't go out and give if we don't have something to give. So that's mm-hmm. when we receive at that time during Holy Hour. And then Holy Hour is followed by Mass. And it's important that we have Mass as a community, because we could go out and have Masses in our different places where we're teaching, but we make a point to have a community Mass together, and that helps build the unity that we live at home. And then after Mass, we eat breakfast together, and then the professed sisters would go off to their different assignments, and the novitiate stays home and first starts by cleaning the house. We have, you know, house chores, and and then we have classes at the mother house. Professors come in to the mother house and teach the novices and postulants. And then we stop again for midday prayer, and followed by lunch together. And then we have an hour of recreation. We jokingly call it an hour of required fun. And oftentimes in that afternoon recreation, we would do something outside. We play soccer, or we go for walks. And when the weather's bad, we have a gym at the mother house, so we can play basketball or volleyball in the gym. And then we have more afternoon classes. And then there's a little period of time that's quote unquote free time. And during that time, that's when the sisters are coming back from the apostolate. So the professors are all driving in, and often we stop and have a cup of coffee and just share with each other on how our day is going. And then by 5 o'clock, everyone is in the chapel again, and we pray Vespers together. After Vespers, we have dinner, and then now everyone's home, so we have another hour of recreation with all the sisters who had been gone in that afternoon time. And that would usually be something inside, like board games or just sitting around and chatting or cards. And then we end the day with the last part of the divine office, which is Compline, and we end that with the Salve. So we offer everything back to Our Lady. So it starts in the morning with Eucharistic adoration and ends by handing everything over to Our Lady, who offers our lives and our day to God. And then there's, we keep a monastic life, so there's silence in the house after that, and sisters are free to study or prepare lessons for the next day, or pray in the chapel, and then we're all in our cells by 10 o'clock.
Now, last year, you and three other Dominican sisters arrived in Columbus to form a mission here and begin teaching at St. Michael's Catholic School in Worthington. And your community here is like a microcosm of the Mother House. You follow that same basic rhythm. So I would imagine that that would give you a sense of comfort and familiarity.
Yes, and it's also nice because it makes us feel connected with the Mother House, and we're not by ourselves. It's like the universal church, and we're the little part of it right here. We don't want to lose track of the fact that we're connected to the bigger picture.
Yeah, that's beautiful. You're listening to Answering the Call on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli, and we're talking today with Sister Mary Jacinta of the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of Eucharist, a religious order that was established in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And Sister Mary Jacinta is one of four religious sisters teaching at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Worthington. Sister, I'd like you to talk a little bit about the Dominican charism of teaching, since it's so foundational to your order.
Yes. Well, I mentioned our community name, Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, and that would be more particular to our community founded in Ann Arbor, but the bigger umbrella is the Dominican order, and the fact that we wear white and black signifies that we're Dominican. So that is rooted in St. Dominic, and he was a preacher. The initials after our names are OP, which stands for Order of Preachers, and Dominic preached the truth during a time when there was heresy. The Albigensian heresy was rampant, and he preached against that, and he wanted to show all of the Catholics what the truth was. And so the way that his charism is carried down today with sisters is primarily through teaching. We also work in different areas of the apostolate, such as giving talks or retreats, or in the summer we give camps, which are like catechetical weeks with children. And so it ranges wider than just in the classroom, but that's the primary way that we live out our charism, is through teaching.
And you teach all the way from preschool all the way up through college.
Yes, that's
the whole
right.
gamut. Now, when you personally were realizing that you had a calling to the Dominican specifically, was teaching a part of your aspiration back then?
No, I would have to say it wasn't. I actually did not really know what the difference was between like Dominicans or Benedictines as far as the charism goes. The only difference I knew is what I saw and what I felt when I was present with them. And I was discerning with other communities, specifically the Missionaries of Charity. And it's funny because their apostolate is so different, you know, serving the poor. And but I can say that I have a Dominican soul. And when I met the sisters, it was home.
And you've turned out to love teaching.
Yes, yes. Even though it was something I did not aspire to as I was younger, now as I'm learning to teach, and I've been teaching for several years now, I find great joy in doing that.
And we know, Sister Mary Jacinta, you are a kindergarten teacher at St. Michael's Catholic School. And I was thinking that must be like teaching a room full of Jacintas, you know, little six-year-olds.
Yes.
What is it like for you to be surrounded by all these little ones?
Well, I would have to say it's life-giving. And I don't lose the opportunity of telling them that they are called to holiness now. And it's such a great thing that I have my own saint to give as an example for that. And her feast day is coming up on February 20th. So we're going to be doing several things specifically in regards to the story of Fatima. And it's so exciting to me that I'm able to tell children that they are called to greatness. They're called to holiness. And Pope Benedict is very good with this message. He has a lot of things to say to children. And he says, God wants your friendship. And that is such a joy to share that with children and tell them that. And it is a great opportunity that I have at St. Michael's right now to share that with my kids. And I'm not going to lose the chance to do that.
It sounds like God's fulfilled your childhood dreams of being surrounded by little ones.
Yes, definitely.
You know, I think
more than I could have imagined.
I think teaching allows you to fulfill a spiritual motherhood in some regard, you know.
Just yes, definitely. And that's, I talk to many young men and women about vocations, and when they say, well, I just want to be a dad or I want to be a mom, I say, good. If you didn't want to, you would not be a good sister. You wouldn't be a good priest. That is part of who we are as humans. God put that in our hearts, and he doesn't ask us to be sisters and say, I'm going to leave that part of you empty. He fulfills it in a very real and very special way. And we would call that spiritual motherhood.
Yeah, and that's so beautiful. Tell our listening audience about how you got your religious name.
We receive our name, as I said, during the formation period after 1 year. And during that time, we're praying about it and talking to Mother about it. And at some point in the summer time before we receive the habit, she asks us to write down three choices and turn them into her, and then she in turn will take them and pray about them. And then on the day we receive the habit, with no hints or clues ahead of time, she tells us on the spot what our new name is. And it can be one of those three choices, or she can choose one that's not on our list. And I was very interested in St. Margaret Mary of Alacoque during all my childhood years and when I was that first year of my life in religious life. But I was blessed to be able to go to Fatima with the whole community. That was in 2000. A benefactor sent us there. And during that time, I got to know Jacinta. And that I would have to credit that pilgrimage to the fact that I have my name now. Because I met her there, and she kind of, a lot of the sisters say that the saints pick us. And mm-hmm. as we live out our life, we find out more and more what that means. And that's definitely the case for me.
And for our listeners who may be unfamiliar with the story of Fatima, Jacinta was one of three children who had the visions of the Blessed Mother. She was just a tiny child at the time, didn't live long after those apparitions. She died at the age of 9, but she was very, very faithful to the messages of the Virgin Mary and in the penances that she carried out, the fasting she did, and she just gave her whole short life to God and her suffering and her death to God. And she was beatified on Jubilee year by our late Pope John Paul II. So she's blessed, Jacinta. And And I can see why you would have chosen her name or why she would have chosen you. You have a childlike spirituality about you, and I'm sure the children just love having you as a teacher. One of the aspects of the mission life in your religious order is to take 1 year at a time. Mother Superior, Mother Assumpta Long, does the discernment about where the sisters will be stationed each year. So you don't know what happens for you each year, like what where you'll be next year, you know, if you'll be where you are now or you'll be somewhere else. How do you feel about that?
There are certainly difficulties that go along with not knowing where I will be going and not being able to plan ahead. But at the same time, I think on a larger scale, I have noticed many benefits in the freedom that it causes. And it helps me to be present to what I'm doing right now. And when I start thinking about next year, it's something that I can't put much into because I don't know if I'll be here. I could be doing something entirely different. I could be doing the exact same thing. So instead of putting energies into those thoughts and those preparations, I focus on what I'm doing right now and I can let go of anything else. And that is a great freedom. And there's a lot of joy that comes with that.
And I think there's wisdom to that because truthfully, none of us know where we're going to be in a
That's
year
true,
from now.
Yes.
So to live in the present is very wise. Now, not every religious community of women is growing today, but yours is. The Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, have 120 members, the average age of which is 27. So what are you doing there that attracts young women in such powerful numbers?
Well, I think the way I would answer that would be to say that each person wants to do something great with their life. Nobody wants to sign up for something mediocre or something that's going to die away soon. And when they see the sisters, we are outwardly radical. And then when they come and get to know us, they see that inwardly we are radical as well. And we want to give everything totally to God. And that means a lot. And when young people come and see us, they, even if they can't put their finger on it, they can sense something there that's very attractive. And that need and that desire to give your life to something great is definitely can be fulfilled in this vocation if you give your life totally to it.
It seems to me that the communities that are traditional, the ones that wear habits, that have Eucharistic adoration and the rosary, are the ones that are growing fastest today. Let's talk about the habit for a minute, because as you say, your traditional habit, black and white habit, what does wearing a habit mean for you personally, and what kind of feedback do you get from people from wearing it?
One of the things I like about wearing the habit is that I can preach without using words. I can go to the grocery store, and just earlier today I was at Kroger's, and I was walking down the aisle to go to the register, and I was distracted by all the Valentine's things that were around, and I didn't even notice, but a woman cut in front of me. And she turned around and she said, "I can't believe I cut in front of a nun." And so it made me laugh because it's like if anyone else had done that, she wouldn't have said anything. But and she didn't know me from anyone. She doesn't know my name. She doesn't know who I am personally, but she knows that I am a sister and that I'm given to God. So, and even if they don't understand that, they know there's some mystery there. And it's a privilege for me to be able to witness that without necessarily doing anything. And on the other hand, in some situations, like in schools I've been in, the kids they kind of treat me like a movie star or something, you know, they like, "Oh, there's sister." And people ask me, "What is that like?" And I have to say, that's not what it's about. I hope that if kids see me, they don't think, "Oh, I want to get your autograph." They think, "Oh, I need to say my prayers tonight." And I want to be a vessel. And the fact that they don't know my name is kind of a witness to that it's not about me, it's about God. And if that means getting people getting excited, that's good, as long as it's drawing the attention ultimately to God.
So it's really not so much as about you, it's about what you represent.
Yes.
And you are a powerful witness. And I think the wearing the habit is a real a loud statement of commitment. Like you said, these young people want something to be committed to. You just by wearing that is saying, "I'm committed to this life." So I think it's beautiful. And I thank you for your habit. What do you find most rewarding and most challenging about your vocation?
I think the answer to that would be community life. There's we live in community, and we do everything together. We eat together, we pray together, we play together, we sleep in the same house, and that is such a joy to be able to be connected to each other in that way. And we were talking earlier about being connected even to the mother house and that community. Even though there's four of us here, I know I'm part of 120, and that is a great privilege and joy, and we do stay connected. And at the same time, we're still human beings. We get on each other's nerves. We bug each other. We can argue. But the thing that keeps us together is we're all here for the same reason, and we're all headed toward heaven. And so there's a lot of forgiveness that can come with that that common goal.
It's all living with people. And you're right. It whether it's a family, whether it's a community, it's all getting along with God's people, which is, as you say, a joy and at times a challenge.
Yes.
Tell us, sister, how young women might be able to contact your religious order for more information.
I think the best way to contact the community is through the website, www.sistersofmary.org. We also have retreats for young women who would like to come in person to meet and be with the sisters. Annually, we have discernment retreats, and the information for those is also on the website.
And can you end this half hour in prayer?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for your great love. Thank you for the gift of vocations in our church. Please bless us with many more vocations. Bless all the young people who are discerning a vocation with clarity and strength to follow your will. Please bless all the priests and sisters and all those ministering in the church today with grace and strength to fight the battle that you have for us today. We ask this in Christ's name and through Our Lady's intercession. Amen.
Thank you, Sister Mary Jacinta, for sharing your faith journey with us today and how you answered the call to become a religious in God's church today. This is Elizabeth Ficicelli, host of Answering the Call. So glad you could join us this week, and we look forward to you joining us next week, Saturdays at 10:30 and Sundays at 4, as we explore other people's spiritual journeys. God bless. Have a great week.
If you know a priest, deacon, or religious sister or brother that might be interested in telling St. Gabriel listeners how God inspired him or her to answer the call, please contact us at info@stgabrielradio.com.